in season and out of season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom and Anthony today, proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is risen today. Alleluia. A triumphant holy day. Alleluia. Who did once upon the cross, alleluia, suffer to redeem a loss, alleluia. This is within the octave of Easter. We celebrate Easter Day today again. Hallelujah. For 8 whole days. We celebrate Easter, and I'm reading from John 20, verse 19. When it was evening of that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples met were locked for fear of the Jews. They're afraid. They crucified Jesus. And now Jesus is going to come between them, going to meet them. Let me continue. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw our Lord Jesus Christ. He said again to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." The Father sent Jesus to the world to be crucified so that we would become the children of God. The greatest thing that happened on the cross and resurrection and the Pentecost is we became sons and daughters of God. He lives in us. He loves us. He has plans for us. I continue. When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Here we have the sacrament of penance. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This Sunday is Mercy Sunday. We have confessions at our rectory and at the church, St. John the Baptist. We have confessions because Jesus said, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive shall be forgiven." He said this to the apostles and to their successors, the bishops and priests. People say, "Why do you go to a man, confess your sins?" Because Jesus said it. Whose sins you forgive shall be forgiven. Whose sins you retain shall be retained. Tell us, Anthony, about the sacrament of penance.
I love confession. I love it. When I first came to God and I was just trapped in sin, every time I would go to confession every day, and the priest would be like, "Oh no, not Anthony again." But every time I walked out of there, it was like the weight of the world was off my shoulder. There was a spiritual exchange where I felt free. I felt liberated. I felt like I was floating. And you know what it did? Every vice was chipped away with. And then maybe just a few months, Jesus, through the sacrament, set me free. I still go to confession before I minister because every sin we do, it sticks to us. But when we go to confession, not only do we get absolution, but we get freedom. And then we get healing because not only does the penance give us a grace of absolution, but there's sacramental grace that flows into our soul and it heals us from those wounds, which is why we are sinning in the first place. Confession is just, it's just the most amazing gift from Jesus. And any way we don't see it as a gift, we're just looking at it in the wrong way. But we see Jesus, you know, he came to the people. He came to the apostles. The first thing Jesus said, peace be with you. When Jesus comes, the first thing he does is he brings peace into our souls. He said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. So there's a spiritual exchange. When we give our life to Jesus and we invite him in, he gives us his peace, his love, his joy. If we don't have peace in our heart in a certain area, it's because we have not allowed Jesus to deposit his peace within us. We have not given that area of our life to the Lord Jesus. Because if something is surrendered to God, if something is surrendered to Jesus, there's nothing but peace that can reside within us. Then the disciples, and then he had said this, and he had breathed on them. You know, a lot of times upon the meetings, when I pray for someone or we pray, the Lord says, breathe on them, blow upon them as Jesus did, and let them receive the Holy Spirit, the same divine life that Jesus deposits in us through the Holy Spirit. When we have that Holy Spirit within us and we are giving our life over to the Holy Spirit, a lot of times as we blow upon the people as Jesus did, they are able to receive that deposit of the Holy Spirit, which God has given to us freely. You know, as the Father sent Jesus into the world, now Jesus sends you. That means everything that Jesus did, first we are called to live a sacrificial life. You know, Jesus came to serve, not to be served. We're called to be servants. The greatest leader is the greatest servant. Jesus knew his destiny from the day he was upon this earth. He knew it was going to end upon the cross. And he did everything to get to where the Father has called him to go. Now we need to understand and we need to know our destiny. The Bible also says my people perish from a lack of knowledge, from a lack of vision. So we need to understand and we need to ask God, God, what dimension of the Father's love did you put me upon this earth to reveal? Why am I on this earth and who am I called to? And we got to ask Jesus and the Holy Spirit to reveal the specific reason why we're on this earth, how we can serve others, how we can be Jesus to others. And we want to walk to that end.
He breathed on them. I see it as mouth to mouth. He breathed on them. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive shall be forgiven. Whose sins you retain shall be retained. Then the scripture says, but Thomas, who is called the twin Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas said to them, unless I see the marks of his nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. We call Thomas the doubter, but he died a martyr. I call him a martyr. He died a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Thomas recognized him as Lord and God. that Jesus Christ is the second person in the Blessed Trinity, my Lord, who always does what the Father wants him to do, and my God, who was God from the moment of, from all eternity. From all eternity he was God. But he became man in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He was God in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. When he was brought forth in Bethlehem, the house of bread, he was God when he was brought forth. When he healed the man who climbed a tree to see Jesus, he was God. And Zacchaeus found this out. He was God when blind Bartimaeus was healed of his blindness. He was God. We need to know that Jesus is both God and man. He is one Lord, and that he is one Lord with the Father in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know this today? Jesus is one with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, and that he has things for you to do before you come to heaven. You are called to be witnesses of Christ. How will the world believe without a witness? And your witness is not, I heard about Jesus. Your witness is experiential knowledge. I've experienced Jesus. I've come in contact with Jesus. He changed my life. He calls me forth. He's got plans for me, and I want to do those plans.
As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. The words of Jesus. As the Father has sent me, even so does Jesus send you. That means our life as a Christian, little Christ, is modeled after Jesus. We live by what Jesus did, but we do it in the way that Jesus did. The same power that was given to Jesus, Jesus has given to you. The same authority, the same dominion that Jesus has seated you, your spirit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus, he was fully God, but every miracle he did as a man through the power of the Holy Spirit. Why did he do it that way? Because it was a model and an archetype of the new human. Born again means born from above. Jesus came to create a new person this world has never seen. A person who is supernatural in nature. A person who is a miracle worker. A person who isn't controlled by sin or their emotions or their lower nature. A person who has ascended and lives a resurrected life. And if you can hear me right now, that person is you. That power has been given to you. That dominion has been given to you. For I know the plans I have for you. Jesus wants you to come into your inheritance. Jesus wants you to come into the reason you were created, to release heaven upon earth. That when someone encounters you, they encounter another world. They encounter a new dimension. They encounter heaven upon earth. You are the meeting place between heaven and earth. You see, when Jesus was on that cross, before he was died and raised into heaven, he drew heaven to earth and he drew earth to heaven. And now we walk in that dimension where we are drawing all the people who live on earth into a realm of heaven. And we're drawing heaven down to earth so that we can release my peace I give to you. How does Jesus give us his peace? Because his peace is supernatural. You are supernatural. Father, as Jesus blew the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, let the Holy Spirit be blown upon you today. Let you receive all of heaven. Let you receive your inheritance.
Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to Thomas, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. That's us. I've never seen the Lord Jesus Christ, but I've seen him work. Amen. I've never seen the Lord Jesus Christ, but I've seen him change people's lives. I've never seen the Lord Jesus Christ, but I've seen him heal people's bodies and minds. I've never seen the Lord Jesus Christ, but I believe. And he said, blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. Chapter 20, verse 30. Now Jesus did other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and that through him and through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of John was written so that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Messiah. Do you know that? That was the whole reason why we say, when somebody comes, what do I begin to read in the scriptures? The Gospel of John, because it says, to those who have read this will come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Son of God. Chapter 21, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, that's in Galilee. And he showed himself in this way. Gather there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. Peter, you were called away from your nets. I'm going fishing. I want to do something that's familiar to me. I don't want to wait too long again for the risen Lord. We don't know when he's coming again. I'm going fishing. And the disciple says, we're going to come with you. Why are they going fishing? To do something familiar to them. Before the Lord comes again as the risen Lord. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out, got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Why? I believe they were out of the will of God. They were out of the will of God. They caught nothing that night. Are you in the will of God today? Are you in the will of God that wants his will? I was with a young person, and he says, I want the will of God in my life. Not too many people want that will, but we are destined to have the will of God in our life. When I went to make application to the seminary, which was in the will of God, God told me the day before to come on Monday and make application to the seminary. And so I did. And I spent 5 years there learning, praying, watching people be healed through the power of the Holy Spirit. I was doing the will of God. Are you doing the will of God today? That will that God sends you out to touch people, to heal people, to bless people. Yes, it's not all about you. It's about Jesus working through you, Jesus ministering to you and through you. Are you in that experience today? Or are you cut or stopped in your own flesh? You're a person that's in jail, and the jail is my body. Jesus called you out of that jail, and he called you to go and pray for people. He called you to go and touch people. He called you to lay hands upon people and watch them be healed.
God's will is fire. The will of God is fire. It burns out everything of us. It burns out all sin and everything of the flesh. And it imparts to us God's divine life. It empties us so we can be filled with God. Lord, we fuse ourselves in your divine will today. Let us be sanctified and burned in your fire. Because, Jesus, we know you are the man of fire. And we want to be only fire for you. You know, fishing is good. Fishing is a good thing. But once Jesus calls you away, you don't go back. Jesus called them to fish for men now, no longer fish. And when Jesus takes your life and he calls you, he might take away a good thing and call you to a greater thing. And there is no going back. Because if we are operating on our own wisdom and operating on our own power, we can work as hard as we want, but we'll catch nothing. But when we sacrifice our life to Jesus and we flow in the Spirit and we live in the river and we do as Jesus tells us to do, then there becomes an ease upon our life and God's power is displayed through us. Through him, we can do all things. You know, we can only reach Jesus when we get to the end of ourselves. Sometimes Jesus, he lets us exhaust ourselves. So we do everything in our own power that we can do and try and try and try and we catch nothing. Then Jesus says, my child, come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And when we have no power in ourselves, it's only at that point that we can start operating through the power of God. It is that point where Jesus begins to operate through me, through you, because Jesus wants us to understand that in us, we can do nothing, but through him, we can do all things. That when Jesus uses us to do miracles, he needs us to know that we didn't do anything. It's the God that created us, is living in us, and is operating through us, that is doing all things for us. That Jesus has a destiny for us. And as we surrender to God, he does everything for us. Lord Jesus, we surrender to you. Do everything for me, that I am nothing and God, you are everything, that Jesus, you are the only thing. This life is only about knowing you. I may have never seen you, Lord, but I've experienced you. I love you. I felt you. I've seen you change lives. I've seen you change my life. God is spirit. We can only receive God into our spirits. We worship God in spirit and in truth. We live a life sacrifice to God. We need to go through the cross before we can be resurrected. We need to crucify our flesh, our will, our desire, our wants. Jesus, it's no longer matter what I want, because what I want is what you want for me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives through me. And as I die and I crucify myself, then Jesus at that point resurrects us and gives us a new life in him.
Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they did. They cast it, and now they were unable to haul it in because there were so many fish. That the disciple whom Jesus loved realized and said to Peter, "That person, it's the Lord." When Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked. I tell you, without Jesus, you catch no fish. Without Jesus, you have no converts. Without Jesus, you have no healing. Without Jesus, you have no deliverance. But with the risen Lord. And what does the risen Lord do? He's on the shore baking fish for their breakfast. This is amazing, that God, who rose from the dead, that this man who rose from the dead is on the shore cooking for the disciples. Jesus is a servant in his resurrection, as he was on the night before he died. And he said, "Who you washed each other's feet as I have washed your feet." Jesus is in control. He is the Lord. He has so much for you. He says, just say yes. I say yes, yes, yes. Father, I pray that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead would flood the people that hear this word, would flood them to overflowing with the grace of the living God, and would send them to the sacrament of penance in Jesus' holy name. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season.